This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, thanks for staying tuned. I'm Philip C here with Wong Xiaoning, and I'm on the morning run with her. It's now 7.
Where else are you, Philip?
I'm in my space somewhere. It's 7:17 in the morning, Tuesday the 28th of June. In about half an hour, we'll be speaking to Idam Hidris, Director and Licensed Financial Planner of Wealth Vantage Advisory, on the rise of bankruptcy among the youth. But in the meantime, let's talk about government subsidies. Because in Malaysia's fight against inflation, the government expects this year's subsidy bill to be the largest in the country's history at 80 billion ringgit. 80 billion, oh my goodness, Shani. 51 billion ringgit is for consumer subsidies like petrol, food and electricity, while another 12 billion ringgit will be distributed in cash aid and other subsidies, which will require around 14.6 billion ringgit.
Ooh, a lot of money. But on a related note, after the announcement on the removal of ceiling prices for chicken and eggs last Tuesday, the government made another U-turn 3 days later and decided not to float the prices, with a new ceiling price to be announced in the near future. According to Prime Minister Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri, the change in policy is to reduce the burden of rising cost of living. But what does an 80 billion ringgit subsidy bill mean for the government's coffers? And does the extension on the price ceiling of chickens and eggs bring more harm than good, actually?
Will it all come to roost? For some answers, we speak to Carmelo Felito, CEO of the Centre for Market Education. Carmelo, the government said in order to help control inflation, they expect this year's subsidy bill to reach 80 billion ringgit. Is this unavoidable?
Well, I think that this statement proves a little understanding of what inflation is. Because if inflation is, as it is, a growth in the money supply faster than the growth in output, then adding more money will only create more inflation. So my point here is that, and unfortunately, I have been shouting on the risk of inflation since January 2021. So it's been 1.5 years that I am shouting, saying inflation is coming. And inflation is coming precisely because, forced by lockdowns, the government spent a lot of money in fiscal aid, and monetary policy has been extremely accommodative. So inflation is the price we are paying for that. And if inflation has been created by fiscal policies, so expansive fiscal policies, how can we expect to cure inflation with more expensive fiscal policies? So I think that behind this measure, there is really a poor understanding of what inflation is and how it was created. So with subsidies, we are just going to give the illusion to the people that they are going to have more money in hands, but the actual value of the money they have in hands will keep on deteriorating. So we are going to add inflation to inflation.
Okay. Carmelo, we know you're a proponent of free market forces on the basis that, you know, prices will eventually correct themselves. But this doesn't happen overnight, just like inflation cannot be curbed overnight. So in the meantime, how can we maintain, I would say, a reasonable level of inflation whilst allowing prices to adjust?
Well, here we have to distinguish. So if we are talking about price tensions that come from a mismatch in supply and demand, like it has been partially for the poultry industry, then yes, market forces will allow that prices to stabilize as soon as we allow that market forces to operate. But here we have a wider phenomenon, which is an excess of money supply. So we cannot expect the market to do the job after 2 years in which the market has been impeded to do that job. So I believe that, unfortunately, we have no other solution than thinking about how to cut money in circulation. So, again, there is a lot of calls, even among the econ community, for subsidies. But here I just want to warn that more and more financial aids and cash aids are just deteriorating the value of that money that we're giving to the people. So we have to do things very gradually, thinking about subsidies that are supported by existing money resources. That means either the cash cow, Petronas, or either via taxation. Because every measure which instead will be financed with the creation of more money will just bring in more inflation.
Okay, let's dissect this a little bit. So when it comes to the creation of more money, you're saying that one way is to remove the subsidies and maybe to remove the cash handout. But the dilemma here is that we are seeing some sections of vulnerable society not being able to afford the rising cost of food. So what can we actually do then to balance what we need to do economically versus helping those who are most needy?
Again, so we have to be very targeted. So to be sure for these measures to be, as less as possible, as less distortionary as possible, to spend money we have. Okay, so that's the only way in which these subsidies will somehow not create even more burden for the people. So spending money that are already there rather than borrowing or creating more money. So that is the only way in which subsidies will not be further inflationary. Unfortunately, I'm in a very difficult position because for 2 years I say, listen, these kind of things that you are doing are going to be costly and are going to bring you inflation. Nobody listen. Then after 2 years, people say, hey, we are there. We got that problem. How we solve it? Well, we should have avoided since the beginning to create that problem. That's very unfortunate.
Yeah, it's unfortunate the milk has been spilled, I guess. The question here is there ways to perhaps, for markets to be more efficient, right? Or even resolve market structure? I have a WhatsApp from Aaron Raj asking, for example, APs. Are we able to withdraw them? Are we able to drive and improve our distribution to reduce the cost of goods over across?
Yeah, well, free trade is surely a way to ensure more supply and therefore prices to cool down at a certain extent for the non-inflationary part of price tensions. But again, with price ceilings, the removal of APs becomes ineffective because who is going to bring in chicken when you cannot sell chicken in a profitable way? So the two things go together. If I'm totally in favor of AP removal, but I'm afraid that with price ceilings is going to be totally ineffective. And I'm in favor of extending this AP removal to wherever we have APs.
Okay, Carmelo, if we look at the US, right, one way that they have tried to, the tool that they have used to combat inflation is actually to raise interest rates. And also, of course, to stop quantitative easing. We don't have so much of this QE program here. But should Bank Negara then consider raising rates, but at the backdrop of a slowing economy though?
Well, at a certain point, this will be unavoidable. Despite, personally, I'm a bit skeptical on using interest rate with the belief that they will automatically adjust things. So I don't believe that lowering the interest rate automatically produces economic growth. And I don't believe that raising the interest rate will automatically curb inflation. Because what happened with the interest rate, the central bank is launching a signal. So the reaction in the market in terms of prices will very much depend on how that signal is interpreted. It will help, definitely, but don't look at it as a magic stick. And as you mentioned, obviously, it will have a contractionary effect, okay? But this is something we can't avoid at this point. So the eggs have been scrambled already. And to put them back together, it is very complicated. So I believe that the interest rate, rising the interest rate will be effective only if this will be accompanied by a program of gradual government spending cuts.
Can we just talk a bit about the whole communication recently about the whole chicken and egg prices issue? That makes it really hard, isn't it, when we see all these U-turns about price caps and price ceilings? What do you think is necessary to help us, get through this, maybe perhaps through limited tools we have, but through better communication then?
Well, I think that the government should probably engage more the stakeholder before taking decisions and before making announcement, and make the effort of being consistent with their announcement. Because now the risk that we have, okay, price ceilings in my view are a bad thing. Removing them was a good thing. Coming back is even a worse thing, not simply because of price ceiling itself, but because you are sending a message to the business community the decisions can be taken in a schizophrenic way from one day to the other. And this is harming and creating uncertainty not only in the poultry industry, but in the whole business community. So this will eventually hold back domestic and foreign investments, because who is going to invest in a country in which such important decision on prices can be changed overnight without the discussion, without anybody expecting that? So I truly hope that government will start taking decisions after a serious engagement with stakeholders and trying to be committed to its decisions, because changing decision is probably even worse than a bad decision.
Thank you, Carmelo. That was Carmelo Felitto, CEO of the Center for Market Education, I think perhaps laying out the land about how challenging it will be for the government to combat inflation. And perhaps subsidy isn't the right tool and mechanism for us. You know, when I listen to Carmelo, it really sounds like a boy crying wolf, someone who has actually brought this issue up to the fore. And to be honest, Shaoning, we've seen this before, right? People have talked about this impending inflation globally, but I think perhaps people didn't take heed or didn't really consider, because there were other competing priorities at the moment. Agenda.
I mean, when you look back at the beginning of COVID-19, the mantra was do what it takes, right? Because the economic scar tissue caused by COVID-19 was so severe. Suddenly, all economic activity came to a grinding halt. So what were the policy decisions that central banks did? They just flooded the system with as much cash as possible, resulting in the inflation that we see today. But in a way, I don't blame the central bankers, because, you know, hindsight 2020, great. Yeah. Everyone, if you had it, you wouldn't do it, right? But now how the critical question in front of us is how to unwind this in the least painful possible way, because the reality is that vulnerable in society still need help. There are many segments of society who don't get enough protein and they need it from the cheap chickens and the eggs, and they need the subsidized petrol. But not everybody needs it. So how then can we reach out? What is the best mechanism?
To make matters worse, we have inconsistent communication where one says another thing, a U-turn in the next 2-3 days later. I think that just makes the situation worse.
For sure, because the business community are thinking, what's going on? Can I make a real decision? Should I put CAPEX into this country?
Up next, we'll be speaking to Professor Loredana Pardurin of Asia School of Business on the demand of EVs. That's happening after the 7:30 news bulletin. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.